it's about finishing strong. And we spoke last week about the dangers of last days and the way people are going to be in the last days. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Right over the page in 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read, just get organised here, we read verses 1 to 8, and I really felt God giving me this scripture. He said, and this is Paul speaking, and he says, I solemnly urge you, in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he comes up to set his kingdom, to set up his kingdom. Preach the word of God. That's what we're doing. Be prepared, whether the time is favourable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke and encourage your people with good teaching. That's what we're trying to do, well, I'm trying to do. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry that God has given you. And as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight and have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So I want to talk about finishing strong today. And I believe that God has not finished warning us and reminding us that times, the end times are near and we need to be ready. And if you're ready, you've heard all the messages leading up to this, fantastic, that's wonderful. Go out and preach the good news and witness to others and love others. By love, you know, loving them, doing good works. But today we want to talk about the endurance of the race. You know, we may have had a bad start to life, but we can finish our race stronger than we started. And we're going to look at some more parables today. And remember, parables as a simple stories that Jesus told, and he used them to illustrate a moral or a spiritual lesson. Now we're going to have a look at Matthew 21, and he's in Jerusalem at the moment. He's ridden into Jerusalem on his donkey. He's been there and he's talking to the Pharisees at this point in time. And he says to them, "But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first son and said, 'Son, go work in my vineyard today.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But after, he regretted it and he went. Then he came to the second son and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'Yes, I go, sir.' But he did not. He did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said to him, "The first." But Jesus said to them, and remember, these were Pharisees and they were there with vicious intent. Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that the tax collectors and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." This is a powerful lesson here that Jesus taught about two sons and their father. This is an opportunity to make sure that we're going to finish our race stronger than when we started. The two sons represent the two directions that life can take us in. The father said to both of those sons, "Go into the field and work." But the father represents God here, and the field represents the world and the things in the world. And he said to his sons, "Go into the field and work." One son said, "I will go," but he did not. This son had an attitude, and he said, "I will go, I will not go." But the scripture said later on he repented and he did the will of the Father. There are two pathways, two responsibilities for everyone who hears this message. you have two possibilities. One son is an example of someone who started out well. I'll do it. I'm in. I'll serve you, God. I'll work in the church. I'll sing on the team. I'll work in the field and I'll use my talents and I'll use my gifts and resources. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to be part of the harvest. I'm going to sell my life out for you, God. So he started out with right intent. He began the right way. But then along the way, something happened. He got distracted. He made the promise. He departed. But along the way, he lost his way. And somehow, he fell away. This son represents a type of person. It's a picture of the person who starts out to live for God, meaning well, having the right intentions, and something happens along the way. Maybe they get hurt, disillusioned, disappointed, offended, which is usually the way, and now they are no longer in the field working for the master. Sometimes people don't wait on the Lord. They get ahead of God. They get discouraged in that season of not seeing things happen because they did not understand about the waiting on the Lord. Then there are those that when trouble, trials and tribulations, persecution and opposition come into their life, they run away instead of running to the Father. There are obstacles we don't count on. We start out strong, but then when hard times come and the hindrances come, and if that's not enough, there's always the pull of the world as well. You know, once you make a commitment and start serving the Lord and start working in the harvest, the world and the lusts of the world will try and pull you away, pull you back to old habits, pull you back to old sins, pull you back to where you were before Jesus found you, and usually worse. And of course, there's always the devil himself. He's always there to trip us up, always there playing on our weaknesses, always there around the corner looming. And if we're not careful and if we're not cautious, we could be like one third of the angels that were in heaven around the throne of God. They started out well, praising God, worshipping God, and being in the presence of God. But they fell, and they were thrown out of heaven with Lucifer. We can fall away from our commitment. We can fall away from our desire. And we can be like the five foolish virgins that we've preached about too, who ran out of oil in the midnight hour, just before the bridegroom came. All of them started well, all 10 of them. All their lamps were full of oil and they were on fire and burning. But they all started looking out for the bridegroom, waiting for the bridegroom, watching out. But five of them were foolish, the Bible tells us. Why? Because they didn't stay where they started. And they found themselves at the most critical hour without enough oil in their lamps. The oil here represents the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul warns us that in the last days, there would become a great falling away. Many people would start on fire and passion for the house of God, but they all leave. Paul spoke about one of his fellow co-workers. Let's look what he said when he was writing to Timothy. He says here in 2 Timothy 4, 9 and 10, he says, "Timothy, please come as soon as you can. Demas has deserted me because he loves the things of this life and has gone to Thessalonica." Demas had been one of Paul's co-workers in the church, in the ministry, but he deserted Paul because he loved the worldly values and the worldly pleasures. So many people start out well, start out in church, serving the Lord and making a commitment, but where are they today? Another scripture in Galatians says, in Galatians 5:7, Paul says, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" You know, what happened? You started doing so good. Who stopped you? What happened? Who held you back from following the truth? Or what held you back? So it's possible that any one of us could be in this position, being on fire for God, felt the warm glow of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it's possible that we could end up shipwrecked, falling away far from God. I know I've made a declaration in my heart that I want to end stronger than when I started. I want my greatest days not to be behind me, but ahead of me. And I plan to finish stronger than when I started. And my heart for this church is that we are going to end stronger than when we started, and that our lamps are not going to be empty, because we want the oil, we want the presence, we want the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we stay close to God, our best days can be ahead of us to bring glory to his name. And I believe that he has kept the greatest miracles for those who do not fall away in the most critical hour just before the bridegroom comes. I've been here long enough to see people come in, and sadly, they're no longer around. This church used to be full. What's happened? The enemy deceives people, and you have to make up your mind how you're going to finish and where you're going to finish. There are countless ways to get tripped up. Good people who mean to do right can get tripped up and fall away. But you better take his word seriously. These warnings, these words that we're getting, these are the times we're living in. But you know, there's more than one way to get lost. We're going to look at that now. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible talks about three lost things. We're not up to that yet, one. Three lost things. It shows us three ways people can get lost, okay? There was the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost son, which is the prodigal, and there's the parable of the lost coin. Again, these are stories that Jesus is using to demonstrate a point. Now, not all of these are the same kind of lost, okay? The first one, the lost sheep, he was lost because he wandered away. It didn't intend to get lost. It just started nibbling away here and there, and before he realised it, there was a distance between the sheep and the shepherd. It just started wandering and ended up further and further away. It looked up and all the other sheep were gone and everything looked confused. And all of a sudden it was lost and now found itself in wolf country. And it didn't even know how it got there. It's one thing when you do something intentional, but there are people today who have just wandered off. They go to church. They are sheep, not goats. And it's still possible for sheep to wander and drift further and further all the way into enemy territory. Sheep don't mean to get lost, and they don't even like getting lost. That's how you know if you're a sheep or not. If you like being lost and you like the world and your sin and all the stuff that you're doing more than you love the church, Jesus said, you're either a sheep or a goat. And if you're a sheep, you don't like being lost. You've just drifted then. And when you hear the voice of the shepherd, you can't wait to get back into the shepherd's arms. We don't have time for games playing church anymore. You're either a sheep or a goat. And if you don't want to change and to run into the Father, then there is something wrong in your soul. The Bible says that when the shepherd went out and found the lost sheep, he put him over his shoulder. We can imagine that picture, can't we, of Jesus putting that sheep over his shoulder. And you know what? They came back rejoicing. Not only was Jesus the shepherd rejoicing, but the little sheep was too. So the lost sheep wandered away. The next parable about the lost son, the prodigal son, he walked away. His was intentional. It wasn't an accident. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he said to his father, give me my inheritance now. I know where I'm going, I know what I'm doing. And he went to a foreign country, the Bible says. And he chose to do this because he liked what he was doing, and he liked where he was going. This was his new world and his new people. He didn't want the church, he didn't want God, and that's the difference. The sheep wandered away and was glad to get back, but this son walked away. It's interesting that the shepherd in the sheep story went out to find the lost sheep. He left the 99 and he went for the one. But the father of the prodigal son never leaves to go and get the lost son. Now listen carefully, because you can't find the lost son. He has to find himself. They have to find themselves. We can't do it for them. There is nothing that you can say, not enough talking that you can do. And it was only when the prodigal had reached the pig pen that the Bible says these amazing words in Luke 15:17. He says this. In Luke 15:17, he says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? But he came to himself. Never did the father go after the son until he saw him coming home. And when he saw him coming home towards the father ran with the coat, the ring and the shoes, and he covered his son, he covered his disgrace, and he brought him back, and he said, look what God has done, my son is home. Let's kill the fatted calf, let's have a party, and let's never talk about this again. So there was the lost sheep who wandered, and the lost son who walked. Now there's the lost coin. The Bible says there was a woman who lost a coin in her house. It was right there in the house. We think that everybody that comes into the church and sits on seats is saved and is going to heaven because they come to church. But you can be in the house and you can be lost. Look at the parable of the 10 virgins. Half of them, they were all in the right place, but half of them didn't make it. So you can be in the house and you can be lost. You can be in a gospel preaching church where the Spirit of God is moving and you can still be lost. Lost people can be cold and indifferent and they never seem to get stirred up about the things of God. The Bible says that the woman took the broom and started sweeping the house, stirring up the dust, trying to find the coin because the coin was there somewhere. The coin had not lost its value, it was just out of circulation, and she wanted to use it, but she couldn't because it was covered up in dirt. So it's possible to be in church, and God wants to use you, and you're still valuable to him, and you're still in the house, thank God, but if you don't watch out, you'll get covered with dirt in the house. And you can't praise God when you've got dirt all over you, and you can't be used by God. And so the Holy Spirit comes through with a sweeping and begins to stir up the dirt, and he sweeps the house clean. Now the woman, she sees the sparkle of the coin lying on the floor, and sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to bring his broom into the church, into my temple, into your temple, into our homes and into our families, because we're still valuable to God, but we could be out of circulation. And we really aren't praising God and loving God like we ought to. And we need the Lord to sweep the dirt out. We all need to sweep out every now and again, I'm certain of that. We need to sweep the world out. We need to sweep out ungodliness until we begin to shine again. And then God reaches down and picks us up and says, I can use you now. You've been cleansed. We just need Jesus. And we're going to have a song right in this moment. We just need Jesus in this final hour, in these last days. We need him like we've never needed him before. So just think about all that I've said as we just sing this song, which is called Give Me Jesus.
When I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. all this world, but give me Jesus.
Give me Jesus. What a touching song and a reminder of how much we need him. We don't need the world. You see, the sun started out strong and he fell away and he's never seen again. Don't let that be you. Don't let us look back in the church and say, well, so-and-so used to be here, but he's gone. The other son, when the father said, go and work in the field, he didn't pretend. He just said, no, I'm not going to do it. He refused the call of his father. He said, that's too much of an intrusion on my plans. I don't want that life. I want my own life. In other words, he stumbled out of the starting gate. He ran with the wrong crowds, fornicators, idolaters, thieves and drunkards. And maybe I'm speaking to people today who haven't had that great start in life. Maybe you were raised in a home where it was completely dysfunctional and ungodly and you didn't have the opportunity to start well. Or maybe you started well and you stumbled out the gate, but something stopped you. And the word for you today is that you can all start back and end well. And that's what these stories prove. That's what these parables are for, to remind us. The Bible says in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 9, I love this. He says, the future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And in this place, I will bring peace. I, the Lord of heaven's armies, have spoken. The future glory is going to be better than the past. And just because you've had a bad start doesn't mean that you have to carry that for the rest of your life. You can have a great ending and you can start today. Something happened to the prodigal son that started bad. Without his father chasing him, he came to a place in his life where he said, I know now what I'm here for. I've tried all of this and it doesn't satisfy. I know where peace is. I know where joy is. I know where I can lose the guilt and the shame and the condemnation and the disgrace of my life. But you just have to surrender to the Father. And he wipes it all clean. And suddenly Jesus himself asked the Pharisees, which one of these was greater? Was it the one who said it, talked it, started it, but fell away, or the one who got off to a bad start, did a lot of bad stuff, ran with a lot of bad people, got into all kinds of trouble and problems, but then ends up right in the plan of God? Yes, Jesus said that one was the greatest. He turned to the Pharisees and he said, harlots and prostitutes and tax collectors who were known for their thievery will enter the heaven. But you Pharisees who talk the talk, you are lost right in the house. You're not going to make it. So to all those people who have had a bad start, if you will bring your brokenness and your failure and your disgrace to Jesus, he will grace you. And you will enter the kingdom of heaven, and he will use you to show the world his glory and what he can do in someone's life. This world is dying and going to hell, and it's our job to do something for the harvest to be reached in these final hours when the bridegroom is about to come. So remain in the house, as Elizabeth said. Plant yourself in the house. And can I say, remain stirred up. Remain with oil in your lamps and fire in your soul, and we will be all caught up together with those who've died ahead of us, because he is coming and you don't want to be left behind. And if you're a sheep right now and you're hearing the voice of the shepherd calling you back, you need to run back and rejoice. But if you're a goat and you're willing to walk away from the Father's house, God help you, because it may be too late. So take another moment now. We're going to sing another song as we worship, and the song's called Come to the Altar. This is where right now, if the shepherd's voice is speaking to you, surrender yourself, surrender everything. Maybe you've just been in the house and lost. But today is a new day. And as we begin, and next week we come back and meet together in the house, let's get our lives right. Let's get ourselves right before God. Surrender our stuff to him and let him use us. So let him minister to you right now as we sing this about coming to the altar.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come. isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bear your cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's just pray. Lord, I know that your voice, as the shepherd was calling out to your sheep, to come home, to renew and to refresh our lives before you, to bring all our stuff to the altar, to the foot of the cross where you died for each and every one of us and for everything we've ever done and for everything we're going to do. I thank you, Father God, that you love us so much, that you've got a plan and a purpose for us individually and corporately. And I believe that God wants us to be so passionate for him and on fire that when we come together on Sundays, it will be an expression of our love and gratefulness for God. But on the other days of the week, I believe he wants us to be so shining our lights that as we go out there, we'll be able to encourage people, love people, help people. We have a community that is going to hell and time is short. And I just believe God keeps giving us these warnings, and there is power in his parables that are simple stories with a spiritual lesson for us to look into and to learn. So, Father God, I just pray where each and everyone is at right now, that your hand touches them personally, that you just do what you need to do in their life. And I just pray that with open arms they would receive what you're doing right now. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.